Yes, I'm a teacher, so I've got lots of bits of paper, lots of books. And of course, as a teacher, we need to start with a test. So just while I'm getting ready, turn to the person next to you and see if you can remember what Pastor Tom preached to us as a church 2 weeks ago. What was the vision that he set out for us? Okay, I'll give you 20 seconds. Go. It's very quiet out there. It's quiet out there. Did you get it? We can put it up on the screen if you didn't quite remember. Pastor Tom spoke a couple of weeks ago about Isaiah 1:19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. That was the vision set out for us as a church for this year. That's exciting. You will eat the best of the land. That sounds good to me. And then last week, we had Amber come and preach up a storm with a call to the altar. And of course, the altar speaks of surrender. It speaks of that willingness. It's that first part, the willingness. And so today, I'm excited today because I feel like all through the week, there's been little things that have just been lining up and lining up and lining up and reinforcing what I want to speak to you about this morning. So I'm very, very excited. It was great to see last week and to have the opportunity last week to actually get up and stand up and come to the altar. Yeah, come to the altar. I want to teach you two Hebrew words this morning. They're on the next slide. The two Hebrew words I want to teach you. One is the Hebrew word for willing, straight from that word, from that verse from Isaiah, and it's ahava, willing. And it doesn't mean, oh yeah, okay. It's an active thing to be willing, to consent to accept, even to desire. You know, that's why Amber asked us last week to stand up and move, to make an action. Right? We show that we're willing by doing something. And the second word is one of my favorite words from the Bible at the moment. My students in my class get sick of me talking about this word. Shema. Shema, which means to hear and to obey. And just even as we were singing in the worship there this morning, just all the lines coming up, and I just kept hearing God going, yes, and that verse, and yes, and that verse. And so I have to be careful this morning because I've got about 2 hours of notes. And my students know that there's a temptation for me to keep talking. So I will try and stick to time. All right. So today we want to talk about these two words. When we're willing, as we heard last week, what we say to God is, I surrender to you. I consent actively to you being in my life, to you leading me to your plans. And they're plans that we know that are for good. Plans to give us a hope and a future. And as Amber was preaching last week, I was thinking about the altar moments in my life, those powerful encounters with God, that even when things get tough and I start to question things, I can go, but hang on, I remember that happened and I can't argue with that. God, I know you're real. And what I want to discuss today is, what do we do with those altar moments? Once you've surrendered to God, once you've said, be my Lord, whether that's the first time or any time that you recommit, even if you've been a Christian for many, many years, how do you obey? What's that next step? And so we're going to talk about that today. The Hebrew word, of course, is Shema. And it's from the famous verse in Deuteronomy. This is the verse that in Hebrew culture, they pray this verse every morning. It's not on the screen there, but this is from Deuteronomy. Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And Shema means to hear, but not just to hear with our ears, but to respond. Yeah. It's a common word. We see it in Proverbs. Proverbs 20:12 tells us that God gave us ears to hear. And it ears hear. Makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, but we also see it in Exodus 19:5, if you will indeed obey, Shema, Shema, my voice, and keep, Shema, my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. Let's just register that for a minute. This was really hitting me this morning. This is the God that created the heavens and the earth. The God who spoke and the universe came into being. That's a big, powerful God. This is Yahweh. And he says, if you will Shema, Shema my voice and Shema my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. You shall eat the best of the land. Hallelujah. Come on, that's pretty cool. Amen. Amen. I'm excited by that. Yeah. So, how do we hear from God? And this is, as a teacher, I've got wonderful opportunity this year. I get to teach a biblical studies class. That is cool. I mean, I've taught science my whole career. I've taught a bit of maths. I've even taught some French. But this year, for the first time, I get to teach biblical studies. And I've got four amazing young people that are taking that course. I'm loving teaching it. And one of the most common questions I get is, how do I hear? How do you hear God? Yeah, I've been a Christian for 30 plus 40 years, and I am yet to hear an audible voice speak to me. I haven't physically seen an angel. I know those things happen. I haven't seen a burning bush. Oh, I'm hanging out for one of those. How cool would that be? I haven't seen those, but I have heard God. And I think sometimes we get stuck. Yes, okay, I came up, I did the altar call, I've surrendered. God, be in charge of my life. And then we get stuck. And even when we've been a Christian for a long time, we can get a bit stagnant. There was a survey done 2018, before all this COVID nonsense hit. And they asked Christians, so this is people that are regularly attending church, and they said, how many of you feel like your life is, quote, spiritually stagnant? 1 in 4. So if we had 100 people in this room today, I'm sure we got just under that, 1 in 4 may be feeling like, yeah, I'm just not going anywhere. I need a word. I need to hear from God. So how do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you, hopefully today, some simple, practical tools to do that. Because God is not out there trying to make this difficult. Yeah, God is out there going, I just want to hang out with you. How cool is that, that we come along here this morning and we sing and we go, God, please come, please come. God's there going, yes, I'm here, let's do this. Yeah, oh, you came to church, great. Let's have relationship. He takes those steps towards us. He's not like going, well, first you got to do this and this and this. And then, it's not like that. That is so exciting. Yeah. Okay, how do we do this? Number one, read. These are sort of simple tools. Read the Bible. Yeah. Dad used to say to me, when I get a new toy or a new thing, read the manual. There's information in there. Yeah. You get a manual. Yeah. I know it's tempting to put the manual down and go, I can do this. No, read the manual, there's information in there. Jesus knew his scriptures intimately. Yeah? I'm going to do a plug for a book. Amber was talking about how we went to youth group together. And the church that we went to youth group together is up in Auckland, the River Church, fantastic church. One of the best pastors I know, part of Pastor Peter Morton, he's just released this book, hot off the press. He doesn't know I'm doing a shout out for this. It does now, Amber will send a message. It's called The God Who's Glad to See You. How cool is that? Yeah, The God Who's Glad to See You. And he says, time in the secret place leads to power in the public place. Yeah, time in the secret place. If you want your life to begin to move, to work in God's power and his plans, what are you doing in the secret place? You know, when you get up in the morning and you pour that first cup of refreshing coffee and you sit down, what do you choose to do? Do you reach for the phone to check the Instagram? Do you reach for the Bible? What do you choose to input? Yeah, and Jesus did this. Jesus would go away and find a quiet place to pray, to spend time with his Father. This is something we need to do. Read the Bible. And I want to read this to you. This is something I read to my students quite often. This is the first thing Jesus did when he began his ministry. And I'll put it up on the screen. This is from Luke 4. And so Jesus has gone out to the wilderness. He spent time there where he's been tested. And he responded to that testing with scripture. And he comes back to begin his ministry. And so he goes to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. So he went to church, you know, went to church every week. It was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now that's a quote from Isaiah. And Jesus knew and specifically chose that scripture for this next verse. This is the ultimate mic drop. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, dropped the mic, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Just imagine that. Someone comes to church and stands up and says, "You know, we've been waiting for a Messiah hundreds of years. Oh, that's today." That'll do. Sit down. You know, he knew his scripture intimately. He chose that deliberately, knowing just what an uproar that would cause. Knowing that that was the way to begin his ministry. You want to begin to walk in God's plan for your life? Read the manual. Okay, read the manual. Second thing, pray. Seems obvious, right? If you want to have a relationship with someone, you need to talk to them and they need to talk to you. Yeah. That's number one piece of relationship advice for young people. Talk to them. They talk. Don't just text them. Like, have a conversation. So we have to pray. Why do we have to pray? Well, Jesus did. Yeah, Jesus did in Mark 1. We hear he got up in the morning and he went to a quiet place and he prayed. And Jesus did this again and again and again. Many times we read in the Bible that he would go and find a quiet place and pray. If he did it, makes sense. We should do that. If that's not enough, he then commanded it. Matthew 6, 5 and 6. But when you pray, it's not if you pray, when you pray. Do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners where they be seen by others. They have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do you see the principle there? What is done in secret in the quiet place then leads to empowerment in the public place. Yeah, you want to see life begin to follow God's plan? Read the Bible, pray, get those disciplines going. And then these things begin to come out. And we have to persist at it. You know, we see in the Bible the story where, we see it a few times, where someone will come to Jesus and ask a healing or ask for deliverance. And initially Jesus says no. But they persist and they persist and they persist and Jesus relents. It's not read your Bible just on Monday and then lose interest. Persist and persist and persist. Keep going back. And God responds to that. And the third one is to listen to people that we trust. Now that might be teachers. Teachers are very wise. Listen to your teachers. It might be your pastors in the church, elders in the church. We have some incredibly wise people in this church, much wiser than I. You need to listen to them. To your parents, teenagers. My father taught me more about the abundant giving nature of God than anybody else. And he didn't have to say a word. I just saw it. Yeah, he had a way of understanding how to give generously without having to give equally to every person. He just got it. And I saw that wisdom in him. And it's changed the way that I view life and the way that I view God and giving in abundance. We see it in other people. I've seen it. You don't have to be old to be wise. You know that? I've seen it. I've had teenagers teach me things. In fact, most days, teenagers teach me things. Because the wonderful thing about teenagers, the reason that people say to me, why do you want to be a teacher of teenagers? That must be tricky. Isn't that awful? That's brilliant. The wonderful thing about teenagers is they're not afraid to ask. You know, they're not afraid. They will just give you the question. There, deal with that one. And often those questions are things that I've kind of not thought through. You know, they cut to the heart of things. So don't think that you have to go to an old person. Young people have wisdom. Young people don't feel that you have to hold things and keep them quiet because you're not worthy. You are. Amen, yeah? Young people are worthy. So I have to go on that little rant as a teacher. And just look, some of the people at this school, if you're not reading your Bible and praying and moving in your path, they're going to overtake you quickly because they are. They're amazing. All right, stop ranting. Okay, so read the Bible, pray, listen to wise people, and it leads to three natural responses, three things. The first natural response is worship. Yeah, if the God that created the heavens and the earth has created a plan for your life and is waiting desperately to have relationship with you, what's the natural response? To worship. Oh, you are holy, Lord. In Leviticus, they get it exactly right. Leviticus 9:24, they've just gone to the altar and they've offered a sacrifice and they've followed, because it's in Leviticus, they've followed the rules. You shall stand in this direction and wave the sacrifice in this way and place it in this way. And they come out and the whole Israel nation is gathered there and God turns up and consumes the sacrifice with fire. Imagine that. We're just standing here and kaboom, fire. They do the only natural thing that they can do. They fall flat on their face in worship. That's what I'd do. Whoa! It's a natural response. But to be fair, when Moses saw the burning bush, he has one of those classic lines, doesn't he? You know, this bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. And Moses says, I will go and look at that bush. I would probably go, whoa, I fall flat on my face. It's a natural response to worship. We come here on Sunday and we get the most amazing worship. We are blessed. How cool is it that we can just sit and soak and spend time, you know, with the God of creation? I could happily skip me talking and just sit and worship. Yeah, it's fantastic. But how do we build that into our life? How do you have those moments where you're walking down the street and you just want to worship God? It comes from what you've done in the silent time, in the private time. Yeah? You'll have read something in the Word, you'll have seen something in your verse that you're studying, and you'll walk down the street and you'll see it. I have those moments and I go, oh, Lord, you're showing off. You're doing it again. And he goes, I know. I created that. You know, worship, natural response. The second natural response is serving and giving. You know, God did not give us a plan and bless us and give us the best fruit to eat so that we could sit and get fat. Yeah? We look at Abraham when he gets his first calling. He is called, he is blessed to be a blessing to others. That is the normal response. That's what we've got to train ourselves into. Yeah, Lord, you have blessed me. Oh, I've been blessed so much. And now naturally we feel we want to give out, not hold it to yourself. Yeah, God gives us blessing for a reason, to bless others. And thirdly, fellowship with others. Way back in Genesis, God says, it's not good for man to be alone. There's a time to be alone with the door shut, praying and reading. And then there's a time to be out there with others, sharing, building others up, blessing others, receiving from others. That's why it's good that we come to church on Sunday. But that's not enough. Coming to church on Sunday is the right thing to do, but it's not enough. And then, you know, we can go to Connect Group on a Wednesday night. Loving that at the moment. But that's not enough. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you're having those conversations with your friends, when you go fishing, when you go hunting, when you, whatever it is you do, yeah, whether you go spear fishing, there's a cool thing to do. I'm not quite sure you have a conversation while you're spear fishing. But in fellowship, we do things together. And God reveals things to us through others. I remember going, before I was about to get married, we went through a pre-marriage sort of training session. And it was explained to me, this is how a good marriage works. If I spend my time thinking about how I can bless my wife, and my wife spends her time thinking about how she can bless me, guess what? We both end up blessed. And I'm not thinking about myself. It works in friendships. How can I think about the other person today? It works with colleagues at work. We turn up to work on a Monday morning or Tuesday morning. What can you do? What can you say that blesses others? If you can combine these things, reading, praying, listening, and the natural responses, what it does is it grows your faith and it builds your faith. And you end up with this white, hot, burning faith, which just drives you back to the altar and back to encounter and closer to God. I'm sitting here this morning. I felt like there's going to be some people out there that have taken it the wrong way. There's another response that happens. When someone stands up and preaches, you should be reading your Bible, you should be praying, there's a response that goes, oh, guilt. Shame. Oh, I should have been doing that. I haven't. I want to say to you this morning, that's not biblical. Stop it. That's not God. God is not standing there waiting for you to come to go, well, you didn't come yesterday. And I haven't seen you for a week. And where's your... That's not God. God is standing there going, yes, you came to hang out with me. Come on. I've got so much to show you. I've got good plans for you. I want to bless you so that you can bless others. He's waiting, excited, happy to see you. Yeah? That is so cool. Because so many times when I get up and make the coffee, I do go to the news. You know, I don't have to feel guilty about that. I just have to go, right, today I'm going to choose the word. Today I'm going to go after you. And God is there waiting, happy to see you. It's almost like I've been reading a book about it. Now, there's a risk, a fork in the road, a way that this can go wrong. Because I want you to consider at the moment, we've just gone into level 2, level 3 in Auckland, and the culture of today, I want you to have a think about it. Have you ever heard in the worldly culture, you deserve love? Yeah, we hear that. Yeah. Have you heard we should be kind to one another? I've heard that. Pretty sure I heard that about 9:05 last night. Have you heard, oh, if you just watch this video, this TED talk, or read this book, you can have inner peace. Yeah? You need to take control of yourself because you have the right to choose what happens to you. All of these things are the world looking at the fruit of the Spirit and going, those are good. We want those. Should we desire love? Of course we should. Kindness, peace, patience, goodness, self-control. Of course we should want these things, and the world wants those things. But the world, the humanist way, will say, you can get them yourself. You don't need God. When we go after those things without God, we are trying to get the kingdom without the king. What happens when we do that? The Bible's pretty clear about what happens when we do that. We get the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, we get a repeated phrase. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And it's tricky to see. I want you to consider the book of Genesis, way back at the beginning, the first sin, the first time humans got it wrong. All right, what was it? We're in the Garden of Eden. We're in this ideal place. God is hanging out with Adam and Eve. They used to go for walks in the cool of the evening. How awesome would that be? You know, sun's gone down a bit. I've had dinner. I'm going to go for a walk with God. They had it sorted. And the only thing they weren't to do was to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. That's it. Everything else, no problem. Right? And Eve and Adam, he's standing right next to her. Let's not think this is a gender issue. Adam and Eve are standing there. And the Bible says they looked and they saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. And she took some and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. What's the sin? Is it eating? It's not the eating. Is it going after something bad and naughty and evil? They were after wisdom. They were created to co-rule with God. What did they need? They needed wisdom. It was a good thing to go after. It wasn't a sin to desire wisdom. The sin was going after it themselves, not with God. God's plan was that he would give them the wisdom when they walked in the garden with him, as they were ready, as God knew that it was the right time. In his plan, they went after it themselves. That's the sin, and it's the sin that happens in Judges. It happens again and again and again through the Bible. Yeah. Read the Bible, there's information in there. Again and again and again, we see them going after it on their own wisdom. We don't need to do what is right in our own eyes. We need to get ourselves lined up with God's plan in our life. How do you discover God's plan? Read the Word, pray, listen to others. It's not rocket science. Okay, read the Word, pray, listen to others. Yeah, because the world is going to tell you, read this self-help book, watch this TED talk, just try harder, and then you can have those things. And when it doesn't work, we get depression, we get anxiety, we get people striving and striving and wondering why their life is not going anywhere. It's because we're after that kingdom without the king, and it doesn't work. You've got to go after the king, and these things will be added to us. Yeah. Here's a cool thing. The obedience that God is talking about is not slavery. It's not, here's a bunch of rules that you need to meet before you get the good stuff. It's not that. Shema. Hear and naturally respond. Do you see how that works? Not here's a whole lot of rules. Just work harder until you've got them. And if you haven't got them, try harder. God knows that doesn't work. Our job, it's exactly what Amber preached. Surrender. Come to God in whatever form you're in. If you're a mess, great, come to God. If you feel like you've got it sorted and you just don't realize you're a mess, come to God. Yeah? And God is waiting there, desperate, waiting there to have relationship with you. That's why He made you. Yeah? It's not an oppressive rules that you have to step that you have to meet to get to God. These steps are repeated, practical habits that we build into our daily walk, and they put us in a space and an attitude of alignment with God. And then comes the fruit. Yeah. Shema Ahava. Now, last week, we had the opportunity to come out and to have an altar moment. And I sat there in the third row and I thought, God, you want me to go out? I feel like things are going well at the moment. And I stayed there. And then during the week, I sort of thought, oh, maybe I should have gone. It wasn't about whether I stepped out of the seat. It was about whether I took a choice to surrender to God. This morning, you're going to get another opportunity. If you've been sitting there this week going, I really probably should have got out, you're going to get another chance. And you're going to get a second opportunity. I want you to reflect. This is personal. You don't have to share this with anyone. But I want you to just focus your eyes on God for the moment. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to consider a continuum. Maybe way over this side, things are going great. You're feeling fulfilled. You know what God's call is on your life. You're walking in it. And, you know, things are going fantastic. And maybe down the other end, you're a bit stalled. You know, I felt like I know what God wanted for me, but it's not really happening. Life's kind of tough at the moment. It's just a grind, and I'm not really hearing from God. And just think, where are you on that spectrum? Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. You're like, yeah, I know what God's call is on my life. I feel secure in that. But I want to walk in it. I want to make some steps forward. Last year, I heard people say things like, I just can't wait till 2020 is over. When we get to 2021, life will be better. And now we're going into lockdown again, and I hear people saying, oh, can't wait till 2021's over. 2022, that'll be my year. You know what? God is on the throne. Yeah? He is not controlled by levels. His plan is not for you to just, we'll just wait a year, we'll put that off, cancel due to COVID. No. God wants to move with you today. He wants you to take a step today. He's got plans for you, and they are for hope and a future. They're good plans. Why would you not want those things? Yeah? Today, let's take a step. I felt strongly to read James 1:22. To 24 to you. It's not in the slides, I'm sorry, guys. I even put in a bookmark. Maybe worship team, if you want to come back. I want you to think about this today. Wherever you are at, whether you're stalled, whether you're flying, whether you're in the middle, there's no judgment in that. God is not waiting to beat you up. He is waiting to welcome you back and to move on in those steps. Listen to this, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law, the man who reads his Bible and prays, the perfect law that gives freedom, and he continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah? You want blessing in your life? God's blessing, not the blessing of the world. You want to walk in His plans? Look intently into His Word. Pray. Listen for His voice. Take some steps. A wise person I know this week said, sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't stop. Don't sit down. Keep walking. God will take you through that valley. Keep walking. Keep listening. Keep praying. Keep reading. Persist in these basic spiritual disciplines. And what comes? Blessing. God says, I will make you my treasured possession. You will eat the best of the land. That's what we want. God's plan. That's what we want. Now this morning, you don't have to come out, but you can come out. You make your choice. But I want you to genuinely engage with God this morning. And I want you to pray, Lord, take me further on in your plan. If you want to come out and receive prayer, please do that. There are awesome, wise, powerful people in spiritual prayer that can pray for you this morning. If you're really struggling with this, if you've been stagnant for a while, I've got a copy of this book, which I'm going to give away. Come and see me. Because I don't want you to struggle with this. God is there to give you freedom. The truth has come to set you free from drudgery, from grind in life. That's not God's plan. Just pray before we do that. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you that you are here today, that you want to meet with us, you want to have relationship with us, that you have plans for each and every one of us, plans to give us a hope and a future. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge you are the Creator. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There is none but you. And we are so grateful that you created us for relationship. Lord, this morning we surrender to you. We take that choice willingly. We consent. We desire to be in relationship with you. And Lord, we choose to take a step. We choose to listen for your voice, to read your word, and to do it. Thank you, Lord, that you provide the rest. You'll give us the energy, the strength, and that you love us. No matter how things have gone recently, Lord, you love us, calling us back. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.